Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. When I think of this, I think of Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. She chose the best place that would be taken away from her. Listen as those words are sung. Reading today from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Let's pray that we can be able to do this, that God will revive the church, that we do this much more than we're doing it today, that we might also recognize how short we are, how sinful we are. Like David said, Before I confessed transgression, my bones waxed old. And when he confessed, thou forgavest me my sin. We need to come back to that much more than we are, to be revived, like the church at Corinth, the church throughout history that has had revivings. How much we need that again, so sorely. Let's pray for it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. He alone is the door. He alone is the way. He alone is the truth. He alone is the life. We acknowledge, Father, that as he said, without me you can do nothing. Also, as Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Forgive us for not looking to him when we could have been strengthened. And we pray that thou bring us to repentance, and bring us to faith, bring us to obedience, bring us to live by faith alone in another, even in Christ Jesus thy Son. Teach us these things from this word and from all of thy word. We pray that we might again be able to say with Paul that we have not shunned to declare thy whole counsel, that we might do it together in the church, that we might do it in such a way that will make the church one in the truth, both in believing and obeying, that thy prayer, Lord Jesus, prayed those four times for us who believe on thee through the word of the apostles, may be one, even as thou and the Father art one, that the world may know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. Sadly, the world does not know it by all that the church has done, and many times finds an excuse for what it is doing in terribleness and awful wickedness and terrible slaying and killing and murdering, all the ways that are being done by the lies of those who teach wrongly. And we pray, Father, that the truth might once again be made known by the church and by the power of thy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that it might be a word in power and not in word only. We pray that thou would also call more laborers to go into all the fields which are whiter than the harvest, where the laborers are few. We pray that thou wilt be with those who need thee in special ways, in temporal help, the sick, the sorrowing, the hungry, the homeless, the older age, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray that thou would again teach the schools that they will teach thy word instead of the word of man, the lies of the theory of evolution. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are in government, our leaders, especially our president, the leaders of other nations as well. Thou put thy fear in their hearts that they might have the beginning of wisdom. We pray once more, Father, that the church might be salt and light in our nation and in every other nation as well, through Christ. Amen. Continuing in this, coming back to the end of what I closed with last week from Colossians. I mentioned the earlier part, losing my wife, and the blessing I had when she was sick, nervous, troubled. How the hymns would help her, how they would quiet her and put her at peace, sometimes even lowering her blood pressure. But one grief I have, though I stayed for 2 nights in the hospital, I was told it'd be all right to go home one night after the first few, and I foolishly did that. And it was foolish, very foolish. I should have thought more of her needs, what it would do not being there. It was a lack of what we read, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. Lack of what we read also in, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Instead of listening to people, I should have thought more of the Lord, should have done more of what God said by the writer of Proverbs, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I thought of Hezekiah when God said of him, he left him to try him to know all that was in his heart. And we don't have anything good at all toward God or toward our neighbor, toward our loved ones. We are left, as Christ said, as I quoted before, without me you can do nothing. And I say these things with the hope that others of you will take heed, that you will do what you need to do. I think of the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. Probably isn't a parable. I think it's actually a story A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was in that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up the wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? The one that Christ said unto said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. We should do that to everyone. Everyone. Everyone in their need. Show mercy. Think about it. What do they need? They need mercy. They need kindness. They need help. Especially when one is weak in body and mind. I hope that many of you will think, Am I doing it? When the time comes. Well, Father, in this chapter here, we have husbands, love your wives. We need to show love in doing, not just in occasionally saying, but what we do. And when there is a need, it requires love. It requires thinking. In this case, it should have been discussion. It should have been listening. And then it would not have left us with regret. That I'll remember as long as I live. Regret that night that I did not stay at the hospital and found her much worse in the morning. That's what can happen. And I would say it to you, to parents, as well as husbands, wives, children, neighbors, hear the story of the Good Samaritan. The Levite, the priest, went by on the other side. Think of that man laying there, beaten up, as we read, half dead. He probably thought, here comes help. There's a priest, he'll help me. Came a Levite, well, he'll help me. But he passed by on the other side. Can you imagine the feeling of that poor man, beaten up, laying there? They going on their way, being left alone. The Samaritan came along and did give help, but would otherwise, the man could have died or been left in terrible ways. Christ said there, in answer to how we are to love our neighbors ourselves, He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. What would I have wanted if I was laying in the hospital bed? Miserable. I would have wanted someone to stay. What would you want? And your need. That's what others need as well. And we need to think of it. If we would just think of it, we wouldn't have the terrible lie of war, the awful lie that brings that war. It is simply a lie. And we need to recognize it and all these different ways that bring trouble to others, either in neglect or direct ways of hurting. We need to think before God. Again, those words, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. More prayer, more living by faith, more hearing the Word of God. Listen again as we read those words. Above all these things, put on charity. It should be there all the time, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I mentioned last week how that is one body, the church, and how we have lacked through the years and still do today. We have more division than oneness, and it's a terrible thing before the world, because Christ's prayer was that the world may know that the Father sent Him through the church. They were some of Christ's last words before His death, when He spoke to the apostles that night before His death, recorded by John, John is the only one that gives us what he said that night where he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you." Again, a short time later, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Earlier than that, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." We read last week Paul's description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, what it does and what it does not do. We need more of that. As I said then, we can only get it from God, for God is love, and he gives it through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Why? So that believing on him, we would not perish. Why will we perish? Why are all of us bound to perish? Simply because we do not love God as he commanded. We do not love our neighbors ourselves as he also commanded. For that, we are perishing sinners. Perishing now and failing to do what we should be doing. We will perish in the end eternally under God's judgment if we do not recognize it, how we came short. Short to the point of not loving, as Paul said of himself when he wrote to Titus, hateful and hating one another, as Scripture tells us that man is enmity against God. I was reading a portion from John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Now he brought out so plainly, which so few do, how we have hatred toward God. We have hatred toward Christ. I mentioned John 3:16 a moment ago. We often stop there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But a little further, he calls us to repentance. He says in verse 19 of that same chapter, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." That's why they killed Christ. He said, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they had no sin. Now they have hated both me and my Father." The next verse in John 3 states, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Even when I speak of these things, my terrible regret of not speaking with my wife that night, people say, "Oh, we're sorry you think that way." What am I supposed to think? Truth or lies? It was something that I was foolish in. Something I wasn't doing enough, thinking, praying, doing as I should have. And that leaves regret, terrible regret. And I hope others will learn from it, that you will examine yourself. What am I doing? What am I going to do? When the time comes for such a thing to happen, will you do it right? Will you pray? Will you ask God what he wants you to do? Will you give your time? Or you will be like the Levite or the priest, pass by on the other side. I see many in the rest homes that are without comfort and company. They're left there. I remember one, every week I would see her asking how it was. She would say, "Terrible, terrible, terrible." Finally, I tried to comfort her and tell her that it wasn't as terrible as she thought, but that was her feeling. She had been brought down there, left there, was not visited very much. She felt that way. A little company would have changed it, would have helped. And that is going on continually in the rest homes, continually, sometimes too much in the hospital. We need to bear one another's burdens. If we want what we read here in the 15th verse, "that the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." God says, "Thou wilt keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That's where probably I lacked. I didn't think of what does God want me to do. Didn't ask it. Just listened to one that spoke to me. Kind of overwhelmed. But we need to do like God said. Let his peace dwell in your hearts. And if we don't, there will not be peace. Then we can soon be like the troubled sea. We have to first of all learn our sin and learn the one way of true and lasting peace, eternal peace. As Paul stated in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If that is true for us, then other things will follow. Other things will be joined together with it. As James said, faith without works is dead. If we say we have peace with God, it will be proved by our works. We are not saved by our works, but we can prove it. And if we don't, there's no reason to believe it took place. We shouldn't think it ourselves, and others won't think it of us either. James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Some want to say that contradicts Paul, but it doesn't. James doesn't tell us works save. Works show something. Works are following justification by faith. They are two things that God gives. He gives both. He gives justification by faith. He gives sanctification also through faith, and that is separating us from our old nature, separating us from the world, separating us from the sin that we formerly did. And we need to have that sanctification, and we will have it if we are truly God's children. Paul writes in Romans 8, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ healed, Christ comforted, Christ taught, Christ did everything right. He could say to those in trouble, in sin, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the first and best place. That's the place we have to come ourselves. That's the place we should point to others. As Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for his sake. That must always be first. Preach the gospel to every creature. But then as well, do the things that we didn't do before. Do the things that God commands us. And again, think of what precedes that story of the Good Samaritan. I'll read a little more of it. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, and saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He wanted a way out. God gave a way that is open to all. If everyone would keep the law, if everyone would love God with all their heart, if everyone would love their neighbor as their self, we would have, as Christ said, eternal life. But no one does it, and when we're told, we don't want to do it. He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? He was told a very good way, perfect way. The Lord Jesus has a wonderful way to teach, a perfect way. And even then, as perfect as it is, we need even more. The apostles had the perfect teacher for 3 years, but just before he died, right after he gave them the Lord's Supper, they had strife among themselves. You can read it in the Gospel of Luke. They didn't learn to love. They didn't learn to be humble, even though he taught them over and over the right way. And we need to be taught continually. The only answer was for those apostles later in the same Gospel, Luke. We read, he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. God tells us throughout his word, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none right, no, not one. That's where we are by nature. That's what we choose. That's where we want to stay. That's what we make excuses for, as this man here, when told what to do, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Probably thought some people aren't my neighbor, but it showed here Christ gave him the example of the Samaritan, those that they despised, did better than the priest, better than the Levite, put him to shame. God says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We need to be thankful. We need to be careful. And in thinking of what happened there, what I failed to do, I said later, we must discuss. We must listen, or we will regret. I said it last week. I want to say it again. Discuss in marriage. Broken marriages sometimes could be healed, could be helped, could be avoided if things were discussed. Sometimes I've heard from counselors, people say, I didn't know that. I didn't think that, or I thought differently. It wasn't spoken of. It wasn't discussed. And we need to do that. We need to do it in marriage. We need to do it in the hospitals. We need to do it in the rest homes. We need to do it at work. We need to do it government. If our leaders could only discuss things rightly instead of condemn each other, how different it could be. What can we do together? How is this to be thought of? How is it to be remedied? But only for self, self, self. And we are more danger of that than ever before. As Paul said to Timothy, writing in that second chapter, of perilous times would come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's where we are as a nation. We are fulfilling what Paul said would come in the last days. We also have that warning in Romans chapter 1, given over to a reprobate mind. When we can't believe in God as our Creator, we're in terrible shape. When the Word of God tells us so plainly, when we can't read God's Word when it says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, and we kill our unborn, we are in an awful place. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. When will it fall on us? When will it fall on us? The 50, 60 million babies we've killed as a nation. We're right where Russia, China was when they went to communism and killed millions. We are doing it. We are doing it to the innocent. We are doing it to the helpless. We are voting people in that want to do it more. As I read of one party, it's more adamant in wanting to do that now than ever before. We are worsening. Will that affect everything? Will it affect our way in home, hospital, rest home, working place, government? Because we are getting hard-hearted? Because we're not listening to God? Because we're not thinking even how He commands us to love Him? How He commands us to love our neighbors ourselves? We are forgetful hearers. And then we turn to no hearers at all. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have you heard it from Him, of Himself, of yourself, and of Christ?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.